Welcome to our show. Before we start, did you know that you could support our show by pushing the patron button at our website, thebillshow.net? You'll be helping us pay the bills and continue to provide you with what we do every fortnight. Political insights and progressive news, including some of the most recent clips from the U.S. political scene. Just click patron at thebillshow.net, and for the cost of a cappuccino a month, you can help us maintain our show. Thanks. Now on with the show.
The words that have been flung out from his mouth to are insane.
You a nasty woman, you hear you say, hell yeah.
We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose.
From the expat home of the resistance, it's the Bill Show. And now, brothers and sisters in solidarity, here's Bill and Randy.
Hello, Randy. How are you?
But young William, born in the USA. Born in the USA, baby. Let's go, Bill. Before we start, let's set the record straight. Yes, we know there was a big blank spot in the last show. You weren't going nuts.
No.
Apparently, one of the tracks we put in there, which was George Carlin, which we introduced and which we back announced, just went. I think because he's up there and not getting royalties since he died in 2008. He haunted the Bill Show.
I think he did. I don't make any money here. But listen,
That's what he's saying. Just, he says, I'm up here
George
in heaven.
Would not
I'm
have edited it. But for some reason, no. He was left out of the show. I'm terribly sorry. I should have gone back and repaired it. But life got ahead of me, and I'd only found out about it.
Yeah, well, I only got to the end of the show a few days ago because I only listen to it when I'm driving and stuff.
Yes, that's right. Hey, welcome to show 171.
Yes,
people.
171. We're really pumping them out.
We are, and we're going to be doing it on a weekly basis from now on because basically what we're going to be doing is going to limit the time of our shows. We kind of noticed in the last couple of shows that we've gone, I don't know, a bit long.
Yeah, you'll be able to fit them on one side of a cassette,
yes.
A 90-minute cassette,
and,
right?
We're going to talk.
Do you remember those?
What? Yeah, mini cassette. Yeah, you could fit it on a mini cassette. It's a jog, okay? It's a jog of walking apart.
A compact cassette.
That's right. So our first thing that we're going to do, of course, as we always do, is check out what's happening in the land of Trump, ladies and gentlemen, and here's
Trumpistan. That's
here's
right.
Here's the intro for Trumpistan.
Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing? It's your Uncle Vladimir Putin here. I am here to make wonderful special introduction with my shirt off and my nipples really hard. I would like everyone to drink a toast to Donald Trump, your president! Actually, it's my president. That's Donaldia! And now another episode of Donald Trump, American, Russian, a president. Who knows, really? Everyone drink! Oh, I'm going to make so much money.
Yes, Randy.
It's the
We're playing the international again.
My favorite song.
It's my favorite song, too.
The it unites the human race.
It unites the human race. And now I'm putting on, this is my timer. I've got a timer here. I'm putting it to 15 minutes.
Are you boiling the eggs again?
I'm soft boiling my egg. I've got the timer going so that I don't talk too long. 15 minutes starting now. Okay, here we go. boy, this is real high class stuff.
It is.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah,
does work.
That's not one of those things you have next to the stove, is it?
I gotta stop, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the Trumpster back in the news with. First of all, I'd like to reflect on something, Randy, that you and I experienced during this election period.
Yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago, Randy.
Well, you were there for the inauguration? No.
No. Just a couple weeks ago, I heard this guy, and he had crazy kind of hair and stuff like that. He was standing in front of a podium, and a lot of reporters were shouting at him. And he said something, and I want to repeat this to you, because this, for me, is very, very funny.
Yeah.
Listen to this, Randy. This, I think you'll enjoy this, just for a bit of humor. Here it is.
I was hoping that we could get a yes or no answer on one of these questions involving Russia. Can you say whether you are aware that anyone who advised your campaign had contacts with Russia during the course of the election?
Well, I told you, General Flynn obviously was dealing, so that's one person, but he was dealing as he should have been.
During the election?
No, nobody that I know of. Nobody.
So you're not aware of any contacts during the course of the election?
How many times do I have to answer this question?
Can you just say
Russia is a ruse. Yeah, I know you have to get up and ask a question so important. Russia is a ruse. I have nothing to do with Russia. Haven't made a phone call to Russia in years. Don't speak to people from Russia. Not that I wouldn't. I just have nobody to speak to.
Who would I speak to?
My
Randy?
Wife is the third best prostitute in all of Kazakhstan.
I don't know. I love Trump. Trump sitting there going, and now we're finding out, Randy, that there's an advisor, a guy that no one knows who he is, who's an international advisor who went to see the Russians. Michael Flynn's went to see the Russians. Jeff Sessions went to see the Russians. Paul Manafort went to see the Russians.
And now, guess what?
Guess what? This is basically because here's Trump going, who would I talk
his
to?
His son-in-law.
Well, probably just look behind you. How would I know anybody who's done anything with Russia? How would I know? Well, he's hanging around with you. Because Roger Stone, yes, Roger Stone, ladies and gentlemen, you may not know Roger. Roger kind of syncs up on Fox News. He's been around since the Nixon administration. This guy is like a reptile that even radioactivity could not kill.
Oh.
He is a vile little piece of work and always has been. Roger Stone Jr., an off and on again advisor to President Trump for decades,
and
also one of those guys who circulated all that that he had this hard on for Bill Clinton during the Clinton
years.
He was always saying that Clinton.
Yeah.
Anyway, Roger Stone has acknowledged that he had contact on Twitter with Guccifer II, the mysterious online figure that is believed to be a front for Russian intelligence officials. So, Bernie's angry at this, because basically, he didn't just talk to Russian intelligence, he talked to the actual wiretappers themselves on Twitter.
Oh, dear.
These are the actual Guccifer II, the actual guys that are responsible for the hacking of the Democratic National Committee. Mm. Now, if that wasn't enough, Paul Manafort, you remember him?
Yeah.
You remember him?
Yeah, because of the stupid name, yeah.
Yeah, Paul Manafort. Okay, Paul Manafort was the guy that ran Trump's campaign before he was given the out. An associate of an ex-Trump...
That was a revolving door for that position,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And an associate of an ex-Trump campaign chairman is suspected of, guess what, connections
what?
To Russian intelligence.
Look, let's have an expose of people who were not connected to Russian
rhetorically,
intelligence.
Rhetorically, can we say that? This is the Bill Show question of the week. Who has not either fucked or gone out with or had contact
or
with...
Or pissed on
somebody from Russian intelligence.
Yeah.
I fully expect to go to Trump Tower and have, yes, can I help you?
Yes, I will have the borscht. I want the borscht.
Hey,
yeah.
Could you take me to the Russian tea room? It's Trump Hotel. So anyway, authorities are looking into a Manafort protege. The operative's name is a Konstantin Kalimnik. Konstantin Kalimnik.
Oh,
yeah,
Konstantin Kalimnik.
Kalimnik. Yeah. It's a Jerry Seinfeld.
What is
Seinfeld
that ticking?
Band.
I hear some ticking. What is that ticking?
Yeah, that's my egg timer. It's a
no,
Jerry
it's a
Seinfeld.
Boom.
Yeah, it's a boom. It's a boom. Kalibnik is the Jerry Seinfeld character that is actually the operative in question, an associate of ex-Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. He's come under scrutiny from officials at the Federal Bureau of Investigation in the State Department, partly because of at least two trips he took to the U.S. during the presidential campaign, according to three international political operatives familiar with the agency's interest in Kalibnik. Kalibnik, a joint Russian-Ukrainian citizen who trained in Russia in the Russian army as a linguist, told operatives in Kiev and Washington...
A cunning linguist?
Yeah, yeah. He told operatives
or
in Kiev and Washington...
Or an anti-linguist.
...that he met with Manafort during an April trip to the United States. And after a late summer trip to the U.S., Kalibnik suggested that he had played a role in gutting the proposed amendment in the Republican Party platform that would have staked out a more adversarial stance toward Russia, according to a Kiev operative. One of the quid pro quos that they're saying the Trump campaign did, because they were in on it, is that they would have removed from the Republican Party platform the proviso that we give money to the Ukrainian state against the guys, the Russian separatists that, you know, Vladimir likes. So here are five quick facts about Kalibnik, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. It's our new segment. It's called Getting to Know Kalibnik.
Well, look, this could go on for years, getting to know Russian intelligence.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I do know Kalibnik, who is a... who is a former Trump guy, assistant to the Trump campaign manager. Let's have in an interview February 22, Kalibnik said that he and Paul Manafort would meet every couple of months during the election. Now, this is a guy who's completely tied and educated as an intelligence officer with the Russian government.
Of course.
That he and Manafort would meet every couple of months during the election.
But it is denied, only for
but
chess.
Denied the meetings have anything to do with Russia. Instead,
no, we just play chess. We
no,
play
we
chess.
Play chess. That's it. Yeah. Instead, he said he was briefing Manafort on matters of the Ukraine, which, of course, are of great interest to people running to the president of the United
and
States.
And he briefed him with $14 million, didn't he?
Well, no, that he goes on to that.
Okay.
Kalibnik said in an interview that even though the two had been in meeting, he was never formally advising Manafort during the election campaign. He argued in an interview that Manafort had been misread by the media and had no Russian ties at all. He reiterated to the Wall Street Journal in January that he had no relationship with the government in Russia or its intelligence officials.
But he had an office there.
Kalibnik started working for Manafort in 2005. Manafort was a consultant for the former president, Viktor Yanukovych, who was ousted and left the country twice after several large violent protests took place in the street. Yanukovych sought cover in Russia, allowing Russia President Vladimir Putin to annex Crimea and incite a war in the country. Basically, Manafort worked for Yanukovych, who was Vladimir's guy in the Ukraine. Kalibnik studied at a military university in Russia. Kalibnik is 46 years old. He studied at the military university of the Ministry of Defense, then known as the Military University of Foreign Languages in Russia. Gee, I wonder what kind of people they train.
He's not a spy. He is a cultural attaché.
Sounds yeah. like spies.
Spies like us.
I'm reaching.
You mean like throwing up?
He advised members of Yanukovych's formal party. After Yanukovych was forced out once again in 2013 by protest, both Manafort and Kalibnik began to work for an affiliate of Yanukovych's old political party, the Party of Regions. That'll bring you up to date as much as you want in Ukrainian politics. Kalibnik was forced out of a job in Moscow. Kalibnik worked for the U.S.-based International Republican Institute out of Moscow for almost 10 years before he was forced out. He was reportedly forced out of his job because, wait for it. No, really, wait for it. Because
I'm waiting,
of suspicion about his ties to Russia.
I'm sorry, I'm getting
He's a
he's a cultural attaché.
He's a cultural attaché.
Yeah, cultural attaché.
He is here in America doing a research assignment on polywogs.
on dying of natural causes.
He's a bird watcher. Yes, I know he has an Aston Martin, and I know he's... And I know he's armed to the teeth with special weapons, but no, really, he's a bird lover. Whenever Kalimnik walks out of his jungle lair, somebody says, "Do bring it back in one piece, Kalimnik." I was riffing there. I don't know that for sure at all.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Anyway,
I like that.
I just want to reiterate one thing and one thing only, and here it is. This is my one thing that I want to reiterate again. Here it is.
Nobody that I know of.
Nobody that I know of. I don't know
it's
anyone.
It's Rus.
Who could be talking to Russia? No one.
Russia.
Hey, Donald, is there anybody that you know talking to Russia?
No, nobody that I know of.
Nobody knows of there. No one.
Nobody here but us chickens. Yeah. It's a Rus.
Russia is Rus. So, yes, the population of North Dakota seems to have had, contact with not only just Russian people, but Russian intelligence. And Roger Stone, who denied knowing anything about this, like Sessions did, like Flynn did, like all these fuckers did, basically, we're finding out that they're all lying sacks of shit. And that Trump was in it with the Russians. And I'll tell you, man, that dossier is starting to come true. Keep close to Rachel Maddow. She's talked about this and how they're really proving certain parts of this dossier that we talked about. And every
is it the one with a pee-pee video in it?
With the pee-pee video, man.
Stimpy's the pee-pee video. Uncle Sven.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's my bit.
Bill. I actually have a bottle of vodka here.
Do you?
And yes, because I was mixing it with black garlic, so I have. It's almost like licorice flavored vodka. Nastrovia! Nastrovia!
We drink now. Okay, hold on for a minute. I'm going to play your intro. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back in just after a break. We're going to play a little comedy, and then we're going to be back for Randy's Rant right here on
Randy's
Show 171. Here you go.
Voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's dialing in the smiling voice of radio, the people's choice. East coast, west coast, in between, it's radio.
And finally, new rule, if the new normal is a president who has bragged about sexual assault and walking in on naked teenage beauty pageant contestants, and who has spoken lustfully about his own daughter, and once said of a fifth grader, "I'm going to date her in 10 years," tell me again why someone like Elliot Spitzer is so terrible. Elliot Spitzer, who you may recall had to go away after a hooker scandal because when a hooker blows a politician, it puts a lobbyist out of work. But this double standard has got to stop, where all the Democrats' horn dogs have to go live on a farm, but the Republican hound is allowed up on the furniture in the Oval Office. So Spitzer wanted to bust a nut. So what? He also wanted to bust bankers and insider traders, and did. If he were a Republican today, what he did could totally be spun. dating call girls? Please. He was providing struggling millennials with a living wage. He wasn't cheating. He was having alternative sex. Republicans are so much more practical about this stuff. They think Trump's flaws come with the territory when you hire an alpha male. Trump does things which appall people, but they also admire the balls of it. Even after Pussygate, his attitude was still defiant. Yeah, I say hello to people by grabbing their pussies. What about it? Hi, Don Trump. That's a nice firm snatch you got there. I mean, compared to that, Spitzer is a choir boy, and rehabilitating him would send the message that Democrats are serious about what is important and about winning. In fact, actually, a guy whose big crime is that he got a hooker doesn't even send that message enough, which is why we need this guy. Yeah, Anthony Weiner. Yes? Another Jew who likes to pork. Hey, you want to win or you want to go home? You want the chicken dinner or what? Balls, I'm telling you, we need balls. And I'm sorry that the good ones are usually a little too full of cum. But they are. We need our loud-mouthed, kick-ass New Yorker who's up all night on social media. Hey, you know what? At least when Wiener is playing with his phone at 3 a.m., he's looking for love. Trump is starting a Twitter war with the Land's End catalog. Let's not forget that Wiener fought like a pit bull for liberal causes and could have been the voice of the party if not for a mistake he made one time. Okay, two times. Three. What does it matter how many times? Oh, shit, he did it again. Okay, all right. It's all he can do to keep from humping the mannequins at Macy's. You know what? That same primal force is why he was such a badass congressman. We don't have the luxury anymore to mess around with milquetoast Democratic politicians who don't move people. Tim Kaine is a nice guy, but he's the kind of boring beta male that's made the Democrats the designated driver party. As ridiculous as Trump is, he does come off as an alpha. That's why he paints his face the color of a baboon's ass. It shows dominance. So, if Trump is indeed the new normal, if it's now perfectly fine for the American president to be Bill Cosby with a super PAC, then Democrats have to go all out too. And that means Spitzer, and that means Wiener. And by the way, next time he runs, no more Anthony Wiener. He's Carlos Danger. Fuck yeah, own that shit. Carlos Danger, a Latino Jew. Tanned, rested, and fully erect at all times. And restoring Wiener, I mean Danger. That would send the message. Although, maybe there's still someone even worse, and by worse, I mean better. John Edwards. That's right, John, yes, I know, left a sick wife to have an affair with Peter Frampton. And that was wrong. That was wrong. But Edwards also is the one who made health care the issue it became for the Democrats in 2008. So yes, what he did was horrible, but the heart wants what it wants, and what the heart wanted apparently was Peter Frampton. I still don't get that. And yes, the whole thing was disgusting, but so is openly humiliating your first wife, the mother of your children, while you romance your future second wife in public. But again, Trump supporters just make a different calculation. They say, no, I don't like cheating and pussy grabbing, but hey, this ain't a friendly fight. This is a battle for the soul of the country. And it is. And since it is, Democrats should be allowed to put our alpha pervs back on the board. Especially since the Democratic Party has a proud tradition of excellent horny presidents. FDR, JFK, LBJ, and of course, how about a BJ?
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Just all gather round. Hey, Randy.
Oh,
it's rant time.
I threw my transmission out because I popped my clutch when I was doing the bump and grind there. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I better sit down.
You popped your clutch.
Well, yeah. Well, you know how it is.
If you've ever had your pop clutch,
my clutch popped, yeah. You can throw your transmission.
I did a little Johnny there for you.
Yeah, thanks.
It's me, Bill. What do you got for us there,
Andy? Oh, young Willie, I'm yeah. You know what? I've got to tell you. When I find somebody who does a brilliant rant, like Keith Olbermann or some of the really great ranters of this world.
Yes.
I bow to greatness. So this week, I'm actually letting a ranter, she's a primary school teacher in New Orleans.
Oh, good.
Named Rubia Garcia.
Rubia Garcia.
She's a teacher from New Orleans, or Norlands, if you're from local. Now, she sits in her car with a camera. This is a very common thing these days, people that rant in cars. If I ever see anybody yelling in a car, I'm going to tap on the window and say, good on you. Tell people what you really think. So anyway, here is Rubia Garcia's rant. Whether you support Trump or not, you need to hear this.
Okay, Rubia Garcia's rant. Here we go on Randy's Rant, Ferd Show 171.
I'd like to tell you folks a story, a true story of that. Once upon a time, there was a man that lived in a very divided country. Now, the vast majority of people that lived within this country lived a very difficult life, and he became popular because he convinced these people that other people were responsible for their suffering. He pointed the finger and placed blame on certain groups of people, whether based on their race, their religion, or whatever it was he needed to in order to further push his own agenda. He played on the fears, the legitimate fears of his people, and out of that fear and out of being afraid, these people bought into whatever this man had to say simply because they felt like, right or wrong, that it was going to make their life better. He made a promise to them that he was going to rid their country of these evil people, that he was going to eliminate them from their society, that he would restore their country to its former glory, that he was going to make their country great again. He sold hate for hope, and people bought into it at a rate that is actually astounding and alarming. It's important to note also at this time that nobody in the world took this man seriously. They made jokes about it, they did cartoons and caricatures, and they did comical sketches and so on and so forth, because nobody believed that this man would actually be able to accomplish everything that he said he was going to do. That wasn't until he took power and began to systematically identify and detain these individuals. You locked in your head who I was talking about, right? You're pretty convinced as to who I was talking about. Was I talking about President Donald Trump? The answer to that was no. I was actually talking about the rise of power of one Adolf Hitler, the man who was responsible for the mass genocide of the Jews, killing millions of people that would thrust this entire world into World War II. Do I think that we are going that way? Do I think that it could become that radical? I have absolutely no idea. What I know is that that history has already been written, and we are writing ours currently right now. So it's time for people to decide where their conscience lies on this. So what I want to remind the American people is this fact, and it's the beauty of our country. So listen to me very carefully. The power of the people is more powerful than the people in power. This is your country. This is my country. We, the people, run it. Never let them forget who they work for. Each one.
That it sounds pretty familiar.
Well, no, it does. It sounds very familiar, but you know, there's a big difference between that and I think what's happening now, because I think what is really impressive, what has been impressed me, is how quickly
in opposition or in support
right now, in opposition, because I think that the the difference, of course, with the Weimar Republic and with now is that Obama left the economy.
And we're still feeling the effects of it, for which Trump is taking credit.
So you don't. You have certain disenfranchised people who are very upset. But you also realize that when you actually look at the voting patterns, first of all, Hillary won by 3 million votes. She won by 3 million. You don't have, he has not got the core, and people aren't so unemployed and miserable that they're willing to flock totally, I think, to him. And they are actually looking now very closely at what Obama did for them, and the incompetence, the actual incompetence of the administration is helping us stave off what I think would be a Hitler rise to power. Well, but I'm not saying it won't.
I saw a billboard that said,
what do you think?
Hey, John Hinckley, Donald Trump is fucking Jodie Foster. What do you think of that? It's one way to solve the problem. I know.
I don't look, know.
I don't think Donald Trump is Hitler. I think in this day and age, with modern communications, he can't do anything, even tweet and remove it without it being captured. He's tried to do that several times, and within seconds, it's already around the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hitler actually was kind of smart. Trump is a miracle. He's just a nincompoop. I mean, really, at the heart of it, you're not looking at a guy who's that... You know, he's an idiot savant at communication and selling himself. He's great at that. But when it comes to actual management, as we have said countless shows, the guy can't manage companies. You know, I mean, he's not a good businessman.
Front guy. Now, let's have a religious nut job. I've got
religious
the
nut
coach
job of, the week. Who you have?
Of the Past the Salt Ministries, Dave Dubermeyer. Yes. We've had him on before.
Right.
This guy is a real rat bag.
Okay.
He's from Ohio, but he stopped teaching high school probably because he couldn't keep his hands off the boys. But he's now the national director of Minutemen United. So
there we go. So leading us into our closing segment is our religious nut job of the week. Here it is. Have a listen, Bernie. Listen to this, Bernie.
Dare I say it? Lesbians recruit. You go to your local, our two daughters played college softball. One played at Hillsdale College, the other played at Marietta College. They were both accomplished players. And every time I go to the ball games, I keep an eye on my daughters to see if they'd taken the homo bait yet. There you go, right wing watch. To see if they'd taken the homo bait yet. And they hadn't. They didn't have to. Because they weren't cropped-haired, wide-bottomed girls. They're pretty girls. Godly women. They didn't take the bait. I'm telling mommies right now, who are watching this show right now. Daddies, you listen to me. If your daughters are good athletes, you better cover them in prayer, because the recruiting that goes on, the pressure that goes on to be one of the girls is enormous pressure. Listen to me. Two men laying in bed having sex. Huh? It ain't equal with my wife and I and the covenant of marriage. It ain't equal. Do you understand, folks? That ain't equal. I'm just saying it four times so the Daily Coast can pick it up clearly. That ain't equal. Because if two men having sex is equal, then sooner it'll be a man and a dog having sex. Oh, don't go Puritan on me. Then it'll be a man and four men, and that'll be equal, and everything will be equal, and everything's equal because I tell you why, the church and the leaders in our churches, they don't believe a daggone thing anymore. They don't stand for nothing anymore. And we're going to have to reach the point where we are going to decide, are we on God's side or are we not on God's side? And we're not going to be able to take the rules of God and change them to fit the society in which we live. We cannot say times have changed, therefore those old laws don't apply anymore. We cannot do that. And we just read about it in Titus. You better figure out which side you're on and what it is that you're going to believe, because we are in a war. Here you go, Daily Coast, and the homosexual agenda is out to recruit your grandchild. That's why they're teaching it in the schools. That's why they're teaching it in the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts and Disney and everywhere you look. They are trying to recruit. They have to recruit. They can't reproduce.
Folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight.
Yes, it's tinfoil hat time, Randy.
There must be. I wish I had shares in Alcoa because with that guy on the throne, I reckon I would be making a fortune. With all of his conspiracy theories.
I think he does most of his best work on the throne. I think that's exactly where
it is. It is, too.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, my tinfoil hat this week.
Give me some paper. I need some paper. Yeah. Millennia,
come wipe me. Come wipe me.
I have this vision of him sitting there, you know, going, that is an incredible turd. That is fantastic. Yeah. That is an amazing. Glennie, come here. Look at this. Look at this floater here. This is fantastic. It's amazing.
It comes around full circle. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah.
It's the best turd ever. Yeah. Right there. Phenomenal.
Nicely
turd.
Tapered. Nicely tapered. Yeah.
Nice. Anyhow, okay. Enough of that nonsense. Yeah. What do you got?
Well, I've got a great one. My tinfoil hat this week really is total tinfoil. You'll need a whole roll for this one.
Oh, good.
You know, Disney has, because it's only been promoted for about a year, the Disney organization has made a live-action version of Beauty and the Beast, the Alan Menken, Howard Ashman movie. And it was an animated feature. It was won the Academy Award, I believe. I know the two boys won it, but it was posthumous because Ashman had died of AIDS.
Anyway,
they decided to do a live action one with, Hermione Granger from Harry Potter, Emma Watson.
I like her.
Yeah, yeah. And a whole cast of Stanley Tucci and wonderful Audra McDonald, a whole cast of stars in this kind of live action CGI, whatever.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. Okay, well, the director comes out and says, well, there's a gay moment in this movie, he said. You know, and because he used that code word, it's not even a code word, you just say gay. And
it's not code, baby.
Yeah, a million moms faint.
Gay!
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I think what he meant was is that a bit of bromance bonding between LeFou and, Gaston. In the movie, it was just as flouncy and effeminate as the wonderful Josh Gad is in this live action thing. So what happened is they went bananas and they want to boycott it.
Oh, good. Cinemas, good.
But the thing is it had the greatest opening weekend of any Disney movie in years.
Of course
so,
it did.
Yeah. whether that was intended or not, I don't know. But the thing is that what these people missed is that this is basically a thinly veiled love affair between a woman and an animal.
Yes.
Colloquially known as.
So what are you pissed off about?
Bestiality.
The guy she's sleeping with a fucking goat.
Yeah, this guy, I mean, you know, it's even got beast in the title, Beauty and the Beast.
The bestiality is fine. Bestiality.
Anyway, yeah, we're okay with that.
Okay, here we go.
So play this clip and you'll hear just this ridiculous shit.
Here we go, ridiculous shit, tinfoil hat 171. There's gay people in my Disney stuff, I hate it.
Intolerance takes many forms. Tonight, one of America's top Christian leaders is calling for a boycott of the soon-to-be-released film Beauty and the Beast. That's because it features an openly gay character, a first for Disney. CTV's Kevin Gallagher now on the controversy some say is nothing more than a tempest in a teapot.
If she is the one who'll break the spell.
The classic tale of Belle falling for the Beast will make its premiere in mid-March. But it's the romantic feelings of the character LeFou for the movie's villain, Gaston. That's being teased by the director. Bill Condon says the movie's ending will have an exclusively gay moment, prompting a backlash from influential evangelical preacher Franklin Graham. He told his followers to boycott the film because it's, quote, trying to push the LGBT agenda into the hearts and minds of your children. Watch out. This Alabama drive-in already told its customers it won't show the movie.
My salvation isn't about money. It's not about man. It's what God wants me to do.
An attitude mocked by Michael Che on Saturday Night Live.
Because in Alabama, gay characters have no place in a children's musical about bestiality.
Gay rights activists called the controversy ridiculous.
I commend Disney for being inclusive and showing the real diversity of love in our world. There goes the baker with his
tray, light. Actors in the film echo the message of inclusion.
I think that's so important because Disney's just sort of shining a light on the world that exists.
Disney says the remake will also feature two interracial couples kissing. Another on-screen first for the film studio, Sandy.
All right, Kevin, thank you.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Oh, my God! Okay. It's the Christian Broadcasting Network, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry.
That cartoon character sounds exactly like we're our Uncle Dwayne, who comes over every now and then.
Yeah, and also always likes to put us to bed.
It cooks. Yeah, it cooks.
And he's got a cousin who lives with him.
That's right. You know, and by the way, that kind of variation of kind of like the gay person putting the kid to bed, you're less likely to have any kind of molestation from an openly gay man than you have from, oh, I don't know, a Catholic priest. Probably. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Can we not go there? Anyway, we already had... poo sex, and we've already had bestiality.
I'm saying something absolutely thing, is that the religious community really hasn't got a leg to stand on here.
They don't want to stand, that's too difficult.
You can't go past the religious community. And religious nutcases,
right.
You know, they're the record holders here.
Good choir boy.
Yeah, there you go. That's wonderful, man. Myself, I'm gonna watch the damn movie. And the guy on TYT said, like, if you couldn't figure out that candlestick was gay, you have no gay art at all.
He can't touch himself because he'll burn.
That's right. That candlestick is gay. You idiot.
Oh, and the clock, because he's so tightly wound.
Gay.
The clock is so tightly wound up.
I once toured in a musical, and I really seriously, it was me, another guy, and two other guys that were straight in the entire cast.
West.
It was
West,
the best time. We had a great time for a year and a half.
West Side Story.
And you'd get all these women who is like, you know, because gay men who dance are some of the most perfectly built Adonises you'll ever see. I mean, yeah. I'm a straight guy, but I can see it, you know, because like we're talking seven packs, you know, I mean,
and all, but just women gorgeous. Aren't threatened.
And these women would watch these guys on stage and come to the stage door after, and the door would open and these guys would go, "What'd you think?" And you could see their kind of their faces just melt. And I'd be sitting there, the fat guy going, "I'm straight."
Yeah. Women aren't threatened by gay men.
And God was sitting up in his chair going, "Booga booga." Ain't that fun? I'll change him. No, you won't. Anyway, that is our new short show, folks. We're down to 52 minutes.
Short. 52 we'll give you minutes. A short shrift. Short
show. We're going to be back with episode 172 next week. Keep the faith, my friends. Taking us out, of course, is going to be, I think, little Johnny Farnham again with You're the Voice. Remember, go to michaelmoore.com. Check out what he's going to say. You also can reach us on thebillshow.net. That's right, thebillshow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place, as well as expatprogressive.podbean.com. And
we're on our Facebook page.
And by the way, put some money in if you can. Sponsor us. That'd be great. Just pick the patron button at thebillshow.net or at expatprogressive.com. Yeah.
Don't pick your nose.
Thank you, Randy. Okay, we'll see you for 172 next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Goodbye.